leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about what I would simply summarize and say perilous times have arrived, as 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following describes. What I'm simply using for the talking points on Let's Face the Issues today: communist, jihadist, and the media all against America. Now, that sounds like a pretty large chunk of something to say in the state, but I believe that's true today as we witness what is taking place. The media is now in the hands of the Communist, Marxist, Socialist, Democratic Party. They're screaming that President Trump has done something illegal. Everything he does is illegal. I believe if he'd cure cancer, it'd be considered illegal by the Marxists on the left, but it's illegal. He should have gone to Congress, supposedly. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the only Democrat that I've heard so far that's publicly praised him for it, because she's up for re-election. It's in her district where you find the majority of the Venezuelans that have come to America for safety as a result of what took place with Maduro in Venezuela about 20 years ago. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, did President Trump act illegally? Was it legal what he did? Why did he do it? What does it connote around the world? How does it affect Israel? How does it affect Iran? How does it affect China and Russia, that basically were controlling Maduro and Venezuela? That's the question. I believe we have next online is Davis Harper. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you, sir. Are you still there?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I believe the young lady, you know, she's reminded me of a person that you don't ever seek a dentist until you have a toothache. And I think she's worried about her election, so she got to agree with this. And you can correct me if I may be wrong about this, but didn't Bush make a statement in the 9/11 that we would seek those that was against the United States, wherever they were, and bring them to justice?
Absolutely.
And that kind of fell by the wayside. And then when we stop and think about when Obama went in, he did take out bin Laden, but that was just a show, I think, you know, for popularity. And then all of a sudden Joe gets in and he buries all that stuff. Thank the Lord for Trump. He's digging it out and taking the dirt off of it and bringing it back up. And he does have the constitutional right to go in and seek our enemy, wherever they may be, and bring him to justice.
Absolutely, brother. You're right on target, and I'm thankful for that statement because part and parcel of what I want to say today and for our listeners to understand, again, I'm saying for the Christian, conservative, and patriot, we need to praise God for his placing by divine intervention Donald Trump back in office to do exactly what he's doing today. He is cleaning house, and I'm thankful for that. Yet at the same time, there's a little negative nugget there. We're witnessing today across the world and in America a greater and greater, denigration and attempt to destroy the Christian and to take Christians out. We're watching that with the jihadist that's taking place in Nigeria, the jihadist in Syria, the jihadist in America, and America is prime at this very moment for the jihadist uprising to continue to do just as they have recently in New York City. When Hochul, the governor of New York, had all of the lights on in the Empire State Building turned green to praise and to represent the Islamic jihadist at his inauguration. And I could go into greater detail, but time won't allow it. But simply put, we should be thankful for Trump and what Trump is doing and God's using him. But Brother Davis, thank you so much for your calling. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Greg is on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, this is going to be a bit of a hit and run call, but I'm thankful that there was the surgical removal of Maduro. This is not some adventure in we didn't invade this country. So for all these people that are losing their ever loving minds, this was a law enforcement matter. We scooped him up, pulled him out. It was a surgical strike, if you will. And keep in mind, it was Joe Biden that put a $25 million bounty on Maduro's head. So now we have, as an enforcement action, we've scooped him up. We didn't kill him. Now, if we looked at, this is a car wash, folks. If we looked at the actions under G.W. Bush, under Obama, and under Biden, over and over and over, they killed people, even American citizens, outside our boundaries, outside our shores. And here, Donald Trump has not done that. He scooped this guy up, said, "Hey, we're gonna prosecute him." Just exactly made a law enforcement or took a law enforcement matter and enforced it. And I think we ought to also see the recovery of the tens of billions of dollars of assets that were stolen by the predecessor to Maduro, Chavez. Because he ripped off American companies that had assets in Venezuela. That affected stockholders all over the United States and around the world because those things were stolen.
Yeah, I think people have forgotten that, Greg. All of the oil industry where Chevron and all of the other major oil-producing companies in America, domiciled in America, owned and operated in America, had leased or bought property in Venezuela and were pumping oil out of the ground by the billions of barrels, and that was confiscated by the administration in Venezuela, stolen. And so I find it fascinating, laughable, and a challenge as I witness and hear President Trump saying, "We're going to take our oil back. It's our oil. We're taking it back." And then the question is, by one of the media, what are you going to do with it? We're going to keep it. We're going to use it. We're going to sell it.
Well, the leftist socialist in America are bemoaning the fact that, orange man bad, that Donald Trump has done this thing. Well, they stand in defense of socialist dictators, totalitarian folks around the world, particularly Nicolas Maduro. The man was not lawfully elected, all right? He shut down elections. He's jailed his opposition, exactly like Joe Biden was trying to do with Donald Trump. Understand, the left in America sees Nicolas Maduro as an ally. Understand, he's conducted himself, operated exactly as they would like to operate. Now, keep in mind, that was the allegation against Donald Trump by Joe Biden during his term of office. He tried to say that that the strong man, Nicolas Maduro, was exactly who Trump wanted to be. And you go, hold on a second. Trump's actually done something with this guy, this dictator that was doing harm. He was emptying out the insane asylums. That's one of the allegations. And sending those folks to America, sending the fentanyl to America, the other drugs to America. By the way, we're seeing a 12-month decline in fentanyl overdoses in America right now today. Isn't it the left that say, we need to control guns? If we could control guns, if we could just save one child's life, You know, they don't say that when we talk about the issue of abortion. They don't say that when we talk about severing the inflow of illicit drugs into our borders and the tens of thousands of lives taken each year by that. Well, why not? Because they're okay with these things. They're okay with a level of chaos so long as they can, through the chaos, grab more power, grab more control. The chaos in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, with the Somalis, were potentially $7 billion plus has been swindled. Now, keep in mind, the entire GDP of Somalia isn't $7 billion. Yet we have that level of fraud in one state, and it seems like focused all around the Somali immigrant community. We've got a problem, folks, and the leftists in America are okay with the problems. They like the problems. I think if we ever track the money trail from all the Somali fraudsters, we'll find that a lot of it leads right back to Democrats receiving massive contributions from those same folks. I mean, I don't know, maybe, possibly.
Absolutely.
It's going to be an interesting 2026. That's all I have.
Greg, let me take one more moment of your time, if you can. According to one of the realtors that was interviewed, and I watched it online, she, speaking of the real estate properties, said that just in one Somalian community, they had 455 houses that the Somalians had bought, all of them set up and called child care centers. And as I have traced the paper trail as much as possible online with that subject, and you said about $8 billion, the latest number was somewhere between $9 billion just in Minnesota, and now they're finding its thread goes across America to every Somalian community, and they were sending that money back to support ISIS with the taxpayers' funds. And somehow, some way, Tim Walz now has realized that his books are cooked, have been cooked, and his lieutenant governor has just, as of a week ago, stood with hijab on to be paying curry and favor to the Islamic jihadist. She was standing with one female Islamic jihadist from Somalia, and she said, "We're standing with you. We've got your back. Don't worry about it." Then Ilhan Omar is saying, "We're not going to let the government deport you. We're not going to let them do this, this, and this." So do you see a pattern there, Greg, that in fact, you perhaps heard the news. I read the news this morning about 6:30, 7 o'clock, where Tim Walz, the one who calls himself a knucklehead, said he's not rerunning. He's in the re-election, but he's dropped his re-election campaign now. He sees the handwriting on the wall. I believe with all there is in me, if his lieutenant governor was in the know, if his lieutenant governor was behind the scenes helping to orchestrate the fraud that's taking place, it's an impossibility to say that knucklehead Walz did not know it, and he's getting out while getting out's good, because I believe the books have been cooked. I believe that the top elements of the government in Minnesota was familiar with it. I believe they were part and parcel, wink in the eye, and as you said, perhaps getting repaid by their, how would you say, contributions running for office, or however else they'd want to do it. What are your thoughts on that quickly?
Somebody said a long time ago, follow the money and you'll find the truth. I think if you follow the money trail, that's just absolutely blown out of our federal government, and agency by agency by agency, DOGE has looked into a lot of this, the Department of Government Efficiency. We ought to maintain that or codify that as a legitimate agency, that their sole goal and objective is to root out fraud, waste, and abuse within the system and eviscerate it, do away with it. I think if we follow the money, we would find the truth.
Absolutely. I believe that is a fact without any question whatsoever, but I find it fascinating. Let me read one portion of an article. Headline says, "I have three words regarding the Somalias. This Republican leader is the loudest in Minnesota's fraud discussion." And it says here, House Majority Whip Tom Emmer, one of Washington's top-ranking Republicans, called for the denaturalization and deportation of Somalias in Minnesota who defrauded the taxpayers. Quote, "I have three words regarding Somalia, all the Somalians who have committed fraud against American taxpayers. Send them home. Send them home." He wrote in a fiery statement released Monday night on X. "If they're here illegally, deport them immediately. If they're a naturalized citizen, revoke their citizenship and deport them quickly thereafter." End quote. That's my position. I believe that's the only cure, but I believe we're witnessing and watching now the evil, wicked, demonic hand of the Democratic Party trying to block anything that would be called finding the truth, settling the truth, and bringing to justice. All of the Democrats are saying that Trump is now wanting to just simply bring about retribution, hatred for those. No, he's wanting to bring about justice and wanting the world to recognize that we're going to stand for truth and justice and what we do with our jurisprudence system.
Right.
Greg, final thoughts. What we see taking place, what should Christians do? How should we respond as Christians and patriots in America?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot on the left, your woke leftists that want to identify as Christians, they oftentimes will rip out of context the welcome the stranger passage in the scripture. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, for those individuals that have come here, that they decide they want to be an American, not a hyphenated American, those that decide they want to embrace the culture and not balkanize and create their own culture, for those that are upstanding men and women and children that enhance what we call Americana, wonderful. We love you. We embrace you. For those that want to come into our culture and to rape, rob, and pillage, to kick their feet, heels back, and say, you give to me, you provide for me, those folks, they can find their home back in Somalia, they can find their home back in Venezuela, they can find their home, but they are not welcome to come here and to destroy a culture founded by believers on Christian principles with Christian standards, Christian values at play. They are destructive, not just to this generation, but to all future generations. They will be destructive to that end. And as believers, we have to speak the truth in love. Let's call these things what they are. As believers, we can say, this is right and this is wrong. As believers, we can also defend the next generation. We're bankrupt, folks. We're $38 trillion in debt, $214 trillion in offline debt. We're bankrupt. We cannot afford to continue to print money to play these games. The socialism that Mamdani wants us to experiment with, you just look at the past 20 years of history with Venezuela and tell me you want to go down that path. We as believers should speak the truth into every one of these situations. Don't hem, don't haw, don't refrain or restrain yourself. Speak the truth. Call these things out.
Absolutely. One footnote based on what you just said. Look at the headline, Mamdani revokes New York City adoption of International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism. Zohran Mamdani's first order of business as mayor of New York was to rescind the executive order of his predecessor, Eric Adams, that had adopted the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism, which included extreme forms of anti-Israel rhetoric. More of Mamdani's attempts to legitimize old Zionist speech can be found, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, had all of the lights on the Empire State Building to burn green the entire night of the swearing in of Mamdani. And then we're finding Mamdani is bragging about putting all of the Islams in positions of leadership in City Hall in New York City to make New York a, if you please, a gleaming light around the globe for Islamic jihadists. What should we see as the hand print of the thing, handwriting on the wall as to where we're headed in America with the Islamic jihadists? If we see the largest city in America taken over by the Islamic jihadists, and immediately the first act after being sworn in is to go the direction of making New York City the gleaming light for Islam in America.
Go to Dearborn, Michigan, where a pastor was recently told in a city council member in a city council meeting, "You are not welcome here." A Christian pastor in America told by either a council member or the mayor of the council, "You're not welcome here." When they start doing their call to prayer, what, five times a day in New York, and when believers are told, "Hey, you need to shut up, you need to respect Islam," and when Muslims block the streets in prayer or otherwise, then you'll realize there might be a little problem here. When they start Sharia courts and try to put you in jail for saying something negative about Islam, by the way, folks, we've all heard them. Every leftist comedian on the planet has joked
about the Bible, joked about Jesus, ridiculed Christianity. Do you hear anybody ever tell any jokes about Muhammad? Do you hear anybody ever mock and ridicule in the public square? Uh-uh. We have 57 countries on this planet that they'll put you in jail for such things. They may take off your head for such things. But somehow or another, it's completely okay to ridicule Christianity, the Bible, Jesus Christ, in just about every... I want you to do this. Ask Siri. Talk to your phone today. Hey, say, Siri, tell me a joke about Jesus. And listen to the joke. And then ask Siri, Siri, tell me a joke about Muhammad. Even AI won't tread on that. Do you understand, folks? And that's where we're headed in the culture. That's where we're headed in society. And once the transition has taken place, you won't be able to go back. In a Christian culture, we have true freedom of expression, freedom of religion, freedom to say the things that we want to, and even to offend. In Sharia law, Islamic law, you don't have such freedom. So be very, very, very careful what you embrace today, because your children may live under a society that is totally different from what you've grown up in.
Absolutely. Greg, I'll do a footnote on that for your exit thought. Charlie Kirk was right. Headline, How Islam is Destroying the West. A mass migration has failed assimilation, reshaped Western nations, toxic empathy, and forced multiculturalism are accelerating to our collapse in America. Kirk says this, we don't talk enough about Islam. We don't talk nearly enough about the hundreds of thousands of Muslims that we have voluntarily imported into our country and built mosques and implemented Sharia law. You go to Minneapolis, you go to Dallas, you go to New York, and it will metastasize, it will spread. You know why? Because the women of the West, they get cats. The women of Muslims, they have kids. Eventually, it doesn't work out very well. And he continued with the statement about the downfall of America is before us if we do not do something immediately about the invasion of the Islamic jihadist. I am concerned about it, Greg, and I know you're aware of that, and we've talked about it. So it deserves the prayer, the consideration of every Christian to recognize where we're headed and ask God to divinely intervene and continue to protect Donald J. Trump as he leads us. He's got faults. I don't question that. There are things that I personally disagree with. I understand that. But all in all, I don't think we could have expected anything better than what we're seeing today through the leadership of Donald J. Trump. So as Christians, we need to thank God for God putting him in office, and we need to pray and ask God to give him strength and encouragement and spine and tenacity to keep doing what he's doing and leading in the right direction. Greg, thank you so much for taking time to call. How's the weather up in the southern tip of heaven?
Another beautiful day in paradise, not to make you jealous or anything. Beautiful. I am headed back to the homestead for a 5-minute lunch, and I'm staring out into the most beautiful mountains that God ever created. And it is truly a pleasure.
Do those mountains have red leaves in them?
Well, for the colorblind, you'll never see it, but yes, the red and the green and the orange. Fall in East Tennessee is one of the most phenomenal places on the face of the planet. In fact, to a slight footnote on your footnote dealing with Donald Trump. With Donald Trump, we did not elect a Sunday school leader, okay? We didn't elect a preacher. We elected the President of the United States. And if you think that you elected a Sunday school leader, you're disappointed today. But the President of the United States, matter of fact, I love the way you start the program oftentimes, talking about the three institutions that God ordained. The church, the family, and the government. The government has a different role than the church or the family. It has a different role. And I'll tell you, Donald Trump has made a few errors, but about 90% of what he's done fits within the scriptural, biblical role of what the government ought to do. So be thankful for those good things that he's doing. I think right now he goes down as the best president of my lifetime. He may very well go down as the best president in American history. He's taken a really, really, really bad hand, and he's handled it very well thus far. Now keep in mind also, those people that are losing their mind over Maduro being picked up, those same individuals would have put Donald Trump in jail for the rest of his life. What were the words that they kept using? No one is above the law. Well, today, leftists listening to me, no one is above the law, not even Nicolas Maduro.
Absolutely. Well said. A good footnote on our conversation today. But, Greg, thank you so much for calling in. Hug your bride for us and have a blessed day. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Jump in where you'd like. We've talked about a multitude of things today. It's summarized in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it talks about perilous times. Word perilous means dark, devastating, dangerous, destructive. May I say to you, that's where we are today when we witness and watch the communist jihadists coming in and trying to rise up. Listen, I can't say it any clearer. If the communists are here, they've been here for years and years and years. The marching, the demonstrating in the streets now about Maduro, believe it or not, major marching in cities in America by the Communist Party USA, Communist Party USA, marching and demonstrating against Donald Trump for plucking up Maduro, bringing him back to America to try him and to put him in prison for the rest of his natural life, coming out of the Communist Party. Then we have the Islamic jihadists. They've gotten to the point in America. And by the way, in my book entitled Is Islam Tolerant, 24 chapters, about 325 pages, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find in there that I state the fact that, and it's out of deep, deep, deep research, that when in any city, any state, any nation, any global place where Islam rises, gets to between 2 and 6%, they'll rise up and demand control. In New York City alone, there's 11%. Islam. In Texas, they have 450,000 Islamic jihadists and 330 mosques. We are finding across America today where Islam is standing up, rising up, demanding Sharia law, demanding control, demanding halal food, even right here in Jacksonville, Florida, where they're trying to, behind the closed doors, with a sleight of hand, trying to get an Islamic slaughterhouse approved in a subdivision and a residential area here in Jacksonville. They will eventually get it done. How do I know that? Why do I say that? Simply because they use incrementalism, get something approved here, something approved there, bring it together, to knit it together and make it what they're desiring and demanding. Right now in the state of Texas, all of the legal apparatus in Texas, under the leadership of Governor Abbott, they're fighting the battle where the Islamics are wanting to set up their own city, set up their own laws, rules, and regulations called Epic City, and they want to have it so that only Islamics can buy in there. When they sell, they have to sell to an Islamic, with an Islamic mosque being the centerpiece of that major, I believe it's 400-acre or 4,000-acre, I've forgotten the number, subdivision or major city they're wanting to set up called Epic City. You're finding it in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and New York, where you have a major mass now of Islam. You have in Dearborn, Michigan, Islam that controls everything that's called the government. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we want to leave a footnote, not a negative footnote, but a positive footnote, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to look up, lift our heads, and recognize that our redemption draweth nigh. We need to pray, seek God's face, ask Him to heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.